Voter suppression has always been a problem in America. It can take many forms, but most recognizable are things like poll taxes and literacy tests. This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour, we explore what voter suppression looks like in 2020.
Stirring up confusion, making voting inconvenient, putting obstacles in the voters' path, sharing misinformation with voters.
Who's being most impacted, and why, after a century of expanding access, this is still happening today? Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted wherever you get your podcasts.
While the coronavirus surges again here in the U.S., it is also coming back with a vengeance in Europe, and nowhere worse than in Belgium, which, as we reported, is now the hotspot of the continent. The southern French-speaking Wallonia region is particularly hard hit. Special correspondent Lucy Hoff brings us this report from Liège.
It's a coronavirus tsunami, a crippling second wave that health officials say they can no longer control. The intensive care beds for COVID-19 patients in this hospital in Liège are full. Admissions have been doubling every 8 days. The ventilators, monitors, and glass isolation units are signs of a crisis worse than the first wave in the spring. If the pressure continues, doctors here say they may soon be forced to choose who receives life-saving care.
Where things stand right now, we're not having to make those choices. But if the wave keeps coming like this, we know we will have to. We're in constant dialogue with patients, being clear that we can't ensure everyone admitted to intensive care will make it through to rehabilitation. That's a reality we're already dealing with.
Wallonia, the southern French-speaking region of Belgium, now has one of the highest rates of infection in the world, with one in every three tests coming back positive. From the start, Belgium has been vulnerable to the virus. It's densely populated with high rates of cross-border travel. The near-total relaxation of restrictions over the summer, combined with bad weather and the return of schools in the fall, have created a perfect storm.
Months of preparation mean for now in hospitals like this one, there's enough personal protective equipment to go around. But there are critical shortages of people, shortages of doctors, nurses and other medical personnel to deal with the influx in COVID-19 patients.
The situation has become so critical in the Wallonia region that some hospitals are asking doctors and nurses to keep working, even if they've tested positive for the virus, as long as they're not displaying symptoms. It's to prevent the healthcare system from total collapse.
We had 5% of nurses and doctors that were positive to coronavirus, but not sick, they didn't have COVID-19. And so we needed these 5% were essential to treat all the patients we have. So we decided to let them work. Otherwise, we would have refused patients and with all the consequences that it has.
Staff shortages are not limited to hospitals. With so many Belgians isolating with COVID-19, there are also reduced numbers of police officers on the streets and teachers in classrooms. Volunteers are being drafted in to fill the gaps. The testing system is overwhelmed with only essential workers and symptomatic people able to access a test. Like neighbouring France, Belgium has now introduced a new national lockdown, closing all non-essential businesses and limiting social contacts. But experts fear urgent action was needed earlier.
I think measures came a bit too late, that's clear. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in this position. The problem is what we do now, we will only have an effect on the hospitals in 10, 12 days. But within 10, 12 days, we think we will also be at the peak of hospital admissions. So I think it is important that now we restrict all our contacts so we don't add another layer of patients on the expected peak.
But like elsewhere in Europe, there are signs of lockdown fatigue and rising anger towards national governments. Small demonstrations have taken place in Belgium, but have stopped short of the violence and unrest seen on the streets of Italy and Germany. For weeks, European governments have resisted full shutdowns, but the reality in hospitals like this one have left little choice. The scenes in Liège are a flashback to those in Lombardy in northern Italy at the start of this crisis. A healthcare system pushed to its limit. And as the infection rate grows and the death toll continues to rise, nobody knows what the next few weeks will hold. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Lucy Hoff in Liège.